Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I am at a loss, given that intern Pastor Miriam has already preached my sermon. So we are going to simply have a conversation in Jesus' name, and we're going to do so in a way of dialogue. Most of you know, yes, I am your bishop, Layla Ortiz. I've been serving as your bishop now for a year, and it has been a roller coaster of a year, not just for me, but for everyone, I'm certain. And so this morning, as I was thinking, well, actually, this whole week, as I was thinking about the text, I kept being challenged, mainly because I'm not accustomed to preaching from the narrative next lectionary. I'm very accustomed to the gospels. And so this was a challenge for me, and I'm glad because not only was the exercise and this week a challenge, but so is the text. The text is challenging. But one of the first things that came to mind when I was reading it was my grandfather. My grandfather was a poet and he was Pentecostal. Some of you may or may not know what that means. Very conservative, very kind of connected to the biblical text. Every single day, his discipline was to read the text. And one day I came home from school in Puerto Rico and he says, Leila, I have a riddle for you. And I said, all right. Papa, I would call him Papa. I say, Papa, what's the riddle? He says, well, who was born before their father, died before their mother, and was buried in the bosom of their grandmother? I'm thinking to myself, it has to be from the Bible because that's all he does, read the Bible. Had no idea. Well, he would just leave it in the air and make us think about it. Then the family came, he did the same thing. Of course, I have no idea. Finally, he says, Abel was born before his father because his father wasn't born, he was created. He died before his mother because Cain killed him, and he was buried in the bosom of his grandmother because the earth was his grandmother. And so that was part of my upbringing. That was part of my engagement with the text and family. We were always surrounded by the text. And so this morning I'm thinking a bit about that. I'm thinking about what it means that the earth is our grandmother. And what does it mean that that Adam and Eve weren't born but created? What does it mean that they were not just created, but they were created in a particular image and from a particular place? And so to do that, I looked at Genesis chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles or if you have it memorized, right? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the text says, Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the wild animals of the earth. And over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. This is Genesis chapter 1. And then we go to our text for today. And today we hear chapter 2, verse 4. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth, from the ground, the water and the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So if we read those parallel, there are some inconsistencies, things that kind of mess with the math, right? In one place, in chapter one, we hear that humankind was created in the image of God, and then in chapter two, we hear that humankind was created from the earth. Which one is it, right? If we're going to take the text not literally but seriously, right? What does it mean that we are both, or maybe both, created in the divine image of God and also created from the earth, right? And so instead of thinking of the contradictions, I want us to think of the both and. I want us to think of the gift that we experience in the text, not that it's contrary to itself, but that it provides a whole picture. We are created in the image of God, and we are created from the earth, right? That's one of the things that would seem contrary, but work well together. Another thing, if you listened well, was in chapter one, we hear that humankind was created to have dominion over the earth, over the animals, over all the living thing. And in chapter two, we hear that all humankind, or that humankind was created to serve it, to till it, to guard it, and protect it. Again, we find two things that seem contrary but are working in tandem together. It is true that the earth was created to serve us, right? To nourish us, to feed us, so that we may live and live life abundant. And it is also true that we were created to serve the earth, to till it, to guard it, to protect it, right? So here we are, right? Here's this humankind, this earthlings, if we want to call them, these earthlings who are both divine and created from the earth, these earthlings that are both created to dominate or to have dominion over the earth, but also to serve it. And here we are, these human beings are now before a crafty tempter. The tempter doesn't come to another animal, right? That doesn't have the capacity or isn't created in the image of God and from the earth, that hasn't been given power and hasn't been given power to serve, right? It comes to the human being, this crafty serpent. And while Eve and Adam have all at their hands, at their fingertips, the serpent decides to name a limitation, name the limit, right? Or open their eyes to the limit. They've already been told by God, don't touch the tree. You can eat from all the things that you see around you, but not this one. Don't touch it. And it isn't until the serpent comes that there's any kind of feeling about this. It's like, okay, well, God said, don't touch it. Not a problem, right? Until the serpent comes and says, actually, if you eat it, you'll be more like God. You'll know the difference between good and evil. And so here is humankind wanting more than it's already been given. Here's humankind being tempted by the serpent in ways that are crafty, in ways that are in tune to the possibilities, the inklings that are in the human being to want more and to go beyond the limitations. As I thought about this, I wondered, what and how is the serpent te tempting us today? How is the serpent tempting us today? I wonder if the serpent is speaking to our egos as it did to Eve, right? Is a serpent saying, why recycle? There's no point in taking care of the earth. This is all going. There's nothing. There's no impact that I can make by being responsible now. How's a serpent speaking to that and not just giving you the truth? Not telling you the truth of your responsibility and for what you have been created. Maybe the serpent is speaking to your ego in that, well, this talk about stewardship and generosity has nothing to do with you, just as God has nothing to do with your finances and how you've made it and what you have in your possessions. You've made all this on your own. So this generosity thing is all for fools. How is the serpent speaking to you? Is it speaking to your fears? Is it saying, yes, people are dying. Yes, people can't breathe even as they live. Yes, there is much going on in the world that actually demands and requires justice. But if you talk about that, and if you say how you actually feel, you may lose your friends, you may lose your followers, you may lose your relationships, it may affect your finances. Yes, this is true, but We may be tempted by the fear of losing, the fear of changing our lives, our circumstances, of struggling with the identities that have been formed for us. The serpent may be speaking to our insecurities. Who are you to lead and make an impact in the world? You're not smart enough. You're not skilled enough. Who are you? Who do you think you are? How is the serpent speaking to us today? I invite us to think about this, and I'm thinking about this even for myself. As leaders in the church, as people who believe in Jesus, we are consistently challenged and tempted by a crafty serpent in our minds and sometimes in our hearts. How do we confront back this crafty serpent and denounce and rebuke and reject the thoughts that are truly lies and keep us from living into the will of God for this moment in our history? I wonder how many of us would be willing to name the ways that we have been tempted, to rebuke the ways that we have been tempted, and to trust in the one that stirs our beings, our souls, to live into what we were created for, to have dominion over the earth and serve it, to be divine and to be of this earth, and to recognize that creation, all of creation, human and natural, are of God, and that we are called to serve. We are called to be in relationship together for the sake not only of ourselves, but for the sake of the world. And so this week, while we know and we thank intern Pastor Miriam for reminding us that no matter when we fall in our temptations and when we listen to the tempter, no matter when that happens, because it will, it's safer many times and easier so many times to listen to the tempter and follow their lead. When we do, we know that God is with us. We know that God is faithful. We know that God walks with us, grieves with us, laments with us, because we know between good and evil. And sometimes we're just unable to do what is right. Even then, especially then, God is with us. God is walking with us, teaching us, empowering us, encouraging us to be better, to do better, and to live in accordance with who we actually are from the very beginning. Creation of God, beloved of God, empowered to make an impact in the world that will make a difference and that will heal it and make it more in tune with God's will for us all. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray for courage. We pray for honesty. We pray for our eyes to be opened and to recognize and not ignore. We ask, dear God, for ears that are able to hear and eyes that are able to see and voices that are able to rebuke, to denounce and reject. Dear God, give us courage and boldness to speak truth into this moment and trust in you. Dear God, give us confidence in you each time voices want to speak to our insecurity, to our fears, to our egos. Dear God, give us wisdom to walk in this moment and accompany all those in need. Be with us, dear God. Help us to love you and help us to trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.